The Wrong Calamity, a memoir by Marcia Jacobson, read by Marcia Jacobson. Author's note: this is a true story. Names and some identifying characteristics have been changed to respect the privacy of certain individuals. These changes in no way affect the integrity of this book. For my daughters and grandmothers. Chapter 1. A Whiz There Is. I was born in the whoosh of baby boomers at Lafayette, Indiana's St. Elizabeth's Hospital, where the wards were named with Bible references and the maternity ward was labeled Immaculate Conception. I was a preemie, weighing less than 5 pounds. And when a nurse introduced me to my father, he said, to her horror, "Last night I ate a chicken bigger than that." He was a provocative guy, quick to argue with his bosses, and we moved from place to place as he lost and found jobs. We were living in a New Jersey suburb flush with TV dinners, Mr. Potato Heads, and other new-fashioned things, when bad news came from the Bronx. My father's father, my grandpa Max, had had a stroke and could no longer run his knitwear factory. His wife, my grandma Minnie, was the right person for this emergency. Arriving in America at 13, she'd found a job in a sweater factory as a cleanup girl, securing dropped stitches and such, and from there had gone on to bigger jobs in bigger factories. Now she converted the office into a little bedsit and made sure Max had a hot lunch, a daily nap, and full respect while she ran the place from a desk at the foot of his daybed. Eventually, she brought in my father and taught him the business, ending his job hopping. One summer day, for what would turn out to be the last time, I skated up and down our driveway until I knew the farmhands would be gone and I could finally go to the flower farm near my school. There I lay on my back in the pansies and framed clusters of clouds with my outstretched hands. Velvety petals brushed the sides of my face, and if I turned my head just a little, the pansies held me with their gentle eyes. Back home, my parents were screaming and storming out of rooms, but here there was peace. Early the next morning, my mother yanked me out of sleep by my shoulders and pushed me against the wall. Two enormous men stood behind her. "Who are they?" I screamed. "Where's Daddy?" "Daddy's at work," she screamed back. "Get out of the way." Crouching low in my yellow baby dolls, trying to hide my naked legs and hints of breasts, I sobbed into my knees as the men carried away my bed. Their truck took off with everything we owned, and a car pulled up to drive us to the airport. My mother was taking us back to Indiana, where her people were. My brother Craig was too, and ecstatic to be on a plane. But I panicked. "I'm supposed to be at Adrian's. We're going skating." "You'll skate in Indiana," my mother said, strapping me in. "What about sixth grade? They have sixth grades in Indiana." How would I return my library books? Who would water the plants by the porch? What about my friends? Question after question, until finally I asked the two that frightened me most. "How will Daddy find us? And Grandma Minnie?" "Your father will know everything soon enough," my mother said, "and you can forget about Minnie. Now turn that sad face of yours away from me." I turned my sad face to the cloud-filled window and silently grieved my New Jersey life, needing more than ever my Grandma Minnie, who, I knew, loved me and would know what to do. In Indiana, my mother's old friends swooped her up into the bridge and mahjong circuit.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?